We will start with questions.
Can you speak to what discernment looks like from a place of rest versus a place of ordinary thinking?
Can you speak about, with stable awareness, how holding to the perception of suffering is seen through?
Let's first address how to make best use of our conversation here today. And the answer to that is very simple. The answer to that is to listen up to the one simple change that leads to complete freedom in all situations. The one very simple change that only you can make, that only I can make, that leads to complete freedom in all situations, and also to complete power in all situations, to know exactly what to do and how to act. The one simple change that in that moment of the one simple change, or as many moments of the one simple change as have been self-accumulated. In other words, the many moments that you've noticed. But in that single moment, from the very first moment, is perfect mental stability. Perfect mental stability. Perfect emotional stability. Perfect compassion and perfect skill for whatever you're applying your skills to. It doesn't matter. And the more that we rely on that one simple change, the more all of these qualities that I've just mentioned become obvious. So from the very first moment, these qualities are present. Just like the warmth of the sun and the light of the sun are evident in the first instant of daybreak. And just like from the first instant of daybreak, everything is illuminated irreversibly. So too, from the first moment of awareness, the sun of awareness just shines brighter and brighter. It becomes warmer and warmer, just like the sun becomes brighter and warmer throughout the day. And at midday, all of the planets and stars that were so obvious at night, they're all still there, but They're not noticeable at all, because the sun of awareness has outshone all the planets and stars. The light of the sun, the illumination of the sun. And the same is true with this one simple change. By relying on this one simple change alone, thoughts and emotions are outshone, sensations are outshone, all other types of experiences are outshone by the sun of awareness, just like the bright midday sun outshines all the planets and stars that were so visible at night. Now, this is entirely up to you. It's entirely up to you. It's not something that requires a high degree of intelligence. It doesn't matter what level of intelligence you have. Anyone can adopt one simple change. Anyone at all. And even though we might have all kinds of curative fantasies about some kind of incredible moment where everything's going to be perfect from that moment on, and we'll only have pleasant thoughts and emotions and that sort of thing, that is just a point of view. It's a curative fantasy that will never pan out. And so, know that everything is simply as it is. Everything is simply as it is. And the one simple change that we make is to simply be aware. And to be aware that being aware is the entire context of everything we perceive. And what does it mean to be aware? What is awareness? Just stop thinking for a moment. Stop thinking. That's awareness. Alert vigilance. Alert cognizance. Restful alertness that has nothing going on within it. That is awareness. Now, awareness is required equally for no thinking and thinking. But when we take that first moment of awareness without thinking, and we repeatedly take a short moment of awareness, then we have more moments of awareness every day. And as we have more moments of awareness, awareness is no longer a moment of not thinking. By taking that short moment of awareness without thinking, we begin to see that awareness is required for all thinking, including not thinking. Because you see, even the term not thinking is a thought. Awareness is required for everything we know, everything we're aware of. Just like aware of the bird chirping outside, or aware of the sound of the ocean. Hear it? That's it. That's it. There isn't anything else. So don't look for some fantastically altered state. And don't look for esoteric oddities that are going to preoccupy your day. That will only lead you into an extreme. What is incredible about awareness is that it never lights anywhere. It doesn't light in a fantastic, blown-out spiritual experience. It doesn't light in some kind of incredibly brilliant, intellectualized theory of the megaverse. It doesn't light anywhere. It needs nothing at all to describe the absolute nudity of its intelligence. And in that, the most profound of all intelligence is found. So if you're wanting to make a big breakthrough in any area, whether it's talking about awareness or making an incredible breakthrough in science or technology or whatever it is, that breakthrough cannot come about by trying to put together pieces of a puzzle of ideas that already exist. It's impossible to make a quantum breakthrough by relying on ideas that already exist. Because ideas that already exist are not ideas that have come about through profound insight that is continuous throughout day and night. Only ideas that come about through profound insight that is continuous day and night can be true quantum breakthroughs, the kind of breakthroughs that will provide immediate benefit, whether it's benefit within ourselves or benefit within human society in general. So we need to know that that's the case. If we think that we're just going to get by with trying to do the same old thing, like have certain kinds of thoughts and certain kinds of emotions and certain kinds of actions, and that's what's going to make us a good person, then we'll be entirely lost all our lives. Or if we think that being aware means having certain kinds of thoughts or certain kinds of emotions or certain kinds of actions, we're going to be equally lost either way. Mark my words. The key is that all that appears is equal. And in taking short moments of awareness repeated many times, there is an evening out of everything, so that there isn't any longer the reaction, the inappropriate reaction to, or inappropriate stimulation by what appears. If we allow ourselves to react and be stimulated by everything that appears, then it's going to be ouch, 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 or woo, woo, woo. And if we invest all of our time and energy in ouch, 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 and woo, 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 then we're going to have a life of ouch, 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 and woo, woo, woo. And so that'll be no life at all. That's the point I'm trying to make here. Now, most of us are so sure that something so enormous could not be as simple as it sounds. And this is just a word for that. In a word, that's called pride. That's called pride. Or a phrase to describe it would be lack of humility. Humility is to see ourselves and everything else in correct relationship. That's what humility is. But if we're wrapped up in a lifestyle of ouch, 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 and woo, 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 then we won't have a sense of humility. Humility is the willingness to adopt the one simple change and to commit to it 100% above all else. Just knowing that there's nothing else that can give as much juice to life as that change. There's nothing else. So, you know, all the wandering off into streams of thought about the way the world is and the way you are and whatever is a distraction from who you are. No matter what your thought processes and mental and emotional processes are up to, continue to connect with that one moment of awareness repeated many times until it becomes automatic. By connecting with that one moment of awareness, less and less will you be caring about or noticing what's going on with your thoughts and emotional states, sensations, and other experiences. This is just the way it is. Because I can guarantee you that your thoughts, emotions, sensations, and experiences will continue on no matter how long you live. You'll be having thoughts, emotions, sensations, and other experiences. And so you see, the key here is to understand their true nature, to understand the true nature of phenomena. And the true nature of all phenomena whatsoever is that it cannot be found to have an independent nature. That means that anything at all that you experience, see, think, feel, whatever you might call it, it has no independent nature outside awareness. The intelligence of awareness is its only nature. Its description cannot be examined and be found to exist in and of itself. And so you see, you cannot intellectually come to a definitive conclusion about phenomena not having an independent nature intellectually. You cannot come to an intellectual conclusion about that. It's impossible. The intellectual conclusion must be coupled with the instinctive realization of it being so. That instinctive realization is all. And it's that instinctive realization that you bank on in short moments, repeated many times. It's that instinctive realization that goes beyond thought and reasoning, yet includes all thought and reasoning. So it's simple, and you see anyone can do it. It's not a matter of just a few people being able to take it on. It's anyone who can allow their pride to just be as it is, to allow their lack of humility to be as it is. The lack of humility and pride say, I know the way the world works. I have these thoughts and they mean something. I have these emotions and they're important. I need to get them out and talk about them in order to really understand them. And that does not lead to an understanding of thoughts and emotions, people. No. It doesn't. Believe me, I tried that, caper. And it is a state of moral collapse. Okay, now I've used some strong phrases this morning. Moral collapse and lack of humility. Now, none of us like to see ourselves included in those categories, do we? Moral collapse and lack of humility. Well, we've already defined lack of humility, so now let's define moral collapse. Morality is knowing what to do within oneself. It's a deep, abiding sense of knowing what to do within oneself. It's internal, one's internal principles. Ethics is the expression of that in the world. So this is very simple. Now, in order to know what to do within ourselves, that we need to deeply understand our own nature. And so the reason that codes of morals do not work for human society in general is that codes, written codes of morals, whether they be spiritual, religious, judicial, or whatever they may be, these do not address the instinctive realization of our nature. Because in that instinctive realization, we have a perfect set of morality and ethics that does not need to be encoded. It's never made into a form. It always just is as it is. So you see, as long as we're not familiar with or gaining confidence in that perfect morality and ethics, we're in a state of moral collapse. But each moment that we take to understand ourselves so deeply that we're willing to go beyond everything we've ever learned about who we are, in that moment we have a garden of morality and ethics in full bloom. just in that moment. So from the very first moment, we take that brief moment of the sun of awareness shining in our lives. From that very first moment, we begin to taste and experience firsthand the perfect morality and ethics that is the basis of our very nature. It's just a bunch of words unless we really start to gain confidence in that instinctive realization. If we don't gain confidence in the instinctive realization, the words may be fantastic. They may evoke in us an expansive sense of awareness. But unless we take those short moments based upon the awareness that we've been introduced to, then we'll never have the amazing, astonishing benefits of that in our lives. Because we can live a life that is beyond our wildest dreams, way beyond our wildest dreams. And it's all rooted in what we're talking about here today. I can speak about this with authority and conviction because I know it to be true in myself. And I also know it to be true in many people throughout the world, like all of you. So never give up. Never give up. There's no destination to get to. So why worry about a destination? There's only this moment of the instinctive reality of who you are. That's it. Everything is the open presence of that moment of instinctive pure presence. That's it. That instinctive pure presence without any names is the juice of what you are. And it's the juice of what every single thought you think is, every single emotion you have, every single sensation you have, and every single experience you have. So no matter what the challenge is that you're facing in life, what is the answer? Awareness. That moment of instinctive realization. If you're worried about anything, no matter what it is, your job, your sex life, your money, your food intake or outtake, or your relationships with people, or your moral character, or your ethical character, or whatever it might be, stop worrying and take a short moment of awareness. If you're looking for answers in worrying and thinking, you're on the wrong track. Period. If you're looking for answers in emoting and spouting affective states, then you're on the wrong track. All that will do is dissipate your energy or neutralize it and make you kind of a robot who believes that really works. It may, you know, relieve some of the angst you're feeling for a moment. But the next time that you feel the compulsion to share in that way, just take a break. Try something else instead, please. Say you get all worked up and you're overwrought with your emotional states. One moment you're feeling anxiety. The next moment you're having a panic attack. The next moment you're depressed. The next moment you're mad as hell. You're so angry you're just seething. Every single cell in your body is seething. And you just want to blow. You know, you want to go to somebody and say, "This world, it's a mess, you know, it's really all bullshit, and you know, if this world was a good place to be, I wouldn't feel like this. What's the sense of being human? I can't make any sense out of it. I'm just a big stew of emotional states and blah, 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 blah. And when this one did that thing, then, oh boy, did that make me mad. And if they hadn't done this, then I wouldn't be feeling like this. Or, you know, whatever it is, on and on and on. Or, wow, you know, I thought I had this money in my investment account, and through identity theft, it's all gone, and I only had FDIC insurance up to a certain amount. I'm looking for a way to die. or whatever way these emotional states take hold, just don't go there. Instead of blabbing on and on within yourself or to other people, at some point you're going to have to stop using that as an antidote. You really are. In order to gain complete confidence and awareness, you'll need to stop using that as an antidote. Either one, the harangue within yourself or with another person. At some point, you're going to have to say, okay, now I'm willing to go beyond that. And you don't even have to be willing for the rest of your life. You can say, just for this moment, I'm willing. Just for this moment, I'm willing to choose the equanimity of awareness, the complete power of awareness, the complete stability of awareness. I'm willing to choose that rather than get into it. Because you see, it's an obsessive compulsive disorder to engage in these very disturbing states within ourselves or in sharings with other people. Maybe when we first start to rest, we may need to do that to some degree. But at some point in learning to maintain awareness, we're going to have to get to the point where we become willing to go beyond that. And we can know that we can count on awareness without fail. We can count on it without fail. We really can. But you see, at some point we have to really get to the place where we're willing to rely on awareness wholeheartedly in all situations, no matter what they are, including this obsessive-compulsive disorder of needing to share everything about our thoughts and emotions. And we will reach that point. Well, if you haven't reached it yet, you will. Where you say, wow, you know, I feel strong enough now. I'm confident enough now. Now I can, then I feel like blabbing, but I'm going to rest instead. I'm just going to rely on awareness. I'm going to be confident in that. Or maybe part of our obsessive compulsive disorder is that we feel we must be understood by someone else. And if we are not understood, it is the end of our effing life. if we get a feeling inside us, I've got to have someone understand me. And this is when we get to the point in brief moments repeated many times, brief moments of awareness repeated many times, when we come up against all of our curative fantasies, all of our points of view where we think that there's something, there's a certain point of view that's going to cure us and make us all right, whether it's blabbing about our emotions and thoughts, or it is getting someone to understand us. These are points of view that we could just put under the term curative fantasies. We think that at some point we're going to find the cure. And the cure is in being understood, or it's in some kind of self-help process, or whatever it is. And there is no cure other than awareness. That is the only cure there is. So, you see, once you know what the ultimate cure is, you don't need to engage in any other curative fantasies. Now, when we start to have these big emotions, panic, anxiety attacks, seething with anger in every cell of our body, what we're experiencing is an appearance of our own wisdom nature. That's what we're seeing. But you see, as long as we blab or seek to be understood or to apply some other curative fantasy, we're not going to be able to recognize these as states of wisdom. We're going to see them as something that's out to kill us. And so you see, as long as we see them as something out to kill us, to which we must apply a cure, then we stay wrapped up in the madness of that. And it's a very difficult way to live. Now, this starts out when we're very small. You know, we think, oh, if only mommy and daddy do it the right way, then we'll feel good. Or only if we get our bottle or our breast or whatever it is, then everything will be fine. But we have this reinforced by everyone around us that there is a cure. You know, we're taught that there is a cure from the very beginning, and that the cure is in people, places, and things. The cure is in having the right people in our lives. The cure is in living in the right places or going to the right places on vacation. And the cure is in things, whatever they may be, self-help books, education of another kind, religion, spirituality, science, materialism of some kind, that we can find the cure in something substantial that we can identify, name, define, and grab hold of. However, as long as we rely on all those cures that we began learning in childhood, awareness can never really take root in us. We can never really develop supreme confidence in awareness. And so this is why it's so important to move beyond being overcome by all of these subtle points of view, these subtle patterns of thoughts and emotion that come up. When they come up, no matter how gripping they may be, continue to rest without blabbing internally or externally, without fulfilling the compulsion to be understood. Continue to just rest as awareness. Rely on that. Only talk to people who will support you in brief moments many times. Do not talk to anyone who will try to understand you in any other way. Or will... this is not the friend you want to have. This is like going into a bad neighborhood without a gun. You know, to talk to someone who is going to support you in venting your emotional states. And even if you're brand new to maintaining awareness for brief moments, talk to someone who is going to encourage you in brief moments. They'll know exactly what to do about your emotional states, believe me. And they'll know in a way that another friend will not. So you want to find friends who abide in wisdom and rely on those friends. And to abide in wisdom means to abide in profundity, to abide in that where the clear-cut choice has been made in every moment, where you say, I'm not going to live a life overwhelmed by dictionary definitions. I refuse to do it. That's what you say to yourself. I refuse to do it. I'm not going to be baffled by my bullshit or anybody else's. I'm going to rely on that which is the root of everything. I'm going to rely on the enormous profundity of the tremendous energy I have within myself to be of benefit to myself and to be of benefit to others. And I will rely on that no matter what comes down, dude. Because believe me, it all will come down. Everything you don't want to come down, it will come down. That's kind of a macabre laugh, isn't it? But you see, I know you'll be all right if you're relying on awareness. But you see, at some point, the choice must be made. It's where the rubber hits the road. Are you going to continue to conform yourself to the crass mass? Or are you going to go beyond every conventional way of thinking about yourself and describing who you are? The identity of dictionary definitions is paltry. It's an identity that is very restricted and very, very limited. No matter how exalted the descriptions are of being human, no matter how intellectually profound and well thought out according to science, technology, psychology, spirituality, whatever it might be, these descriptions are an extreme. You don't need any descriptions to get along just fine, believe me. Descriptions are just a tool for communication, that's it. But they're not the basis of who you are, no matter what the description is. So say you're young or old, or you know, maybe if you're young you want to be older, if you're old you want to be younger, you're thin or fat, if you're thin you might want to get even thinner to the point of dying, or if you're fat, you may want to just eat until you explode into pure space, or, you know, anything in between. But no matter what, or you might be somewhere in between, but no matter what the compulsion is, its context is awareness. So, you know, no matter how troubled or overwhelmed you are by any of these points of view, and they're all just points of view appearing in awareness. This is really the simple way to understand what I'm saying. Don't make a big deal out of them. They're points of view in awareness, period. Nothing else. And because they're due to awareness, they're inseparable from it. They're just the dynamic energy of it. But their description isn't anything. If you don't know their ultimate description, you'll be lost in their dictionary definition. So you see, no matter what it is that's nagging at you and troubling you, when it starts to nag and trouble, maintain awareness, sustain awareness, rely on stable awareness, rely on that about you and the megaverse that is totally stable, completely stable. There would be no megaverse without awareness of it. Believe me, if you had no awareness, you would not be aware of the megaverse. And we as humankind, we need to get humble enough to say we don't know. We really don't know much about ourselves. We really don't know. All we can really say is, well, we're here and we're aware. That's what we can say. And we only know we're here because we are aware. So you see, if we weren't aware, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't know we're here. So when we go to awareness, we go to the root of everything. We go to the root of how this great display of everything comes into being. Without awareness, there's no way of knowing that any of this is. So in order to understand everything that is as it is, we have to go right to the source of knowing that it is. And that is, no matter what it is, if we're looking for a profound breakthrough in science or technology, or we're looking for a profound breakthrough in our own emotional and mental states, the answer is the same. It's exactly the same. When we get up against the wall of not being able to rest as awareness and overwhelmed by thoughts and emotions, that's when we need to make that effort. This is the only effort worth making. If we don't know how to make this effort, all other effort will avail us nothing. So there are two parts to it. One is awareness. Maintain awareness. Make the one simple change. And inseparable from that is the recognition that everything that appears within awareness is its dynamic energy and nothing else. And that dynamic energy isn't particular to you. This isn't an experience that you are having. The experience of you having an experience is awareness present as you having an experience. So each step along the way, you having an experience, all points of view within awareness. And so you see, you get down to the real root, the real crux of what it means to be you. And to do so, this means going beyond everything you've ever thought to be true about yourself, everything you've ever taken yourself to be. No matter what you take yourself to be, it's just a point of view and awareness. It's only for the moment that you have that point of view that you assume that that's true about you. But how often do you really think, oh, wow, I'm really concrete here. I'm this. That's what an assumption is. An assumption is something that's threaded through all your other perceptions. An erroneous assumption that's threaded through all of your other perceptions. And the assumption that you exist is one of those. And the assumption that you don't exist is another one. So those are the two extremes. One is materialist, you exist. The other is nihilist, you don't exist. But you see, awareness is unopposed. It doesn't take up any extremes, either that you exist or you don't exist. The jury is always out in awareness. There's no conclusion to come to. Everything, every description is incomplete, no matter what it is. When you ground yourself in the instinctive realization of this, then life gets easy. That's just the way it is. So at first it's an instant easier when you take that first instant of awareness just to stop thinking. stop thinking and what's there. Alertness. Cognizance. That's it. That's what awareness is. And by recognizing that first moment of awareness and returning to it again and again, now that you know what it is, you start to see, well, it isn't just not thinking, it's thinking too. It's the basis of everything. This is how you see in your own experience that everything that appears, no matter what it is the dynamic energy of awareness. You can't arrive at it intellectually. It has to be arrived at instinctively. You can understand it intellectually, but that won't take you all the way. It's by the instinctive realization. When you feel overwhelmed with everything, panic, anxiety, anger, aches and pains, feeling stuffed or feeling empty and whatever it is, feeling like it's the end of the world, feeling like you can't go on, feeling like, what else, nobody understands you. Or maybe you feel the opposite of that. You feel like you're kicking ass. You know, you feel like you're on top of it all. You're smarter than anybody. You got more money than anybody. You got the keys to the kingdom. You know, your investment account is loaded. You'll never have to worry about that. You can buy any car you want, all the cars you want, houses, women, men, whatever your preferences might be, you know. And you're styling, you know, and nobody can hold you down, and you just feel better than anybody else. Both of these states are equal, whether you feel like you're nothing and you're worthless, or you feel like you're the greatest person on earth and you have the most to contribute. These are absolutely equal. You're in the same boat, no matter which of those you feel. And so, both of them are epidemic today. For most of us, sometimes we feel one extreme, and then at other times we feel the other. And then a lot of times we might just be in the middle in some kind of a neutral state. But you see, thinking that we are all these states is very limiting. Oh, wow. It really is so limiting. Especially when there's just stability, total stability in each moment that can't be flustered, can't be altered. That's when you find your real power. That's the power that can take you anywhere to do anything you need to do. So if you really want to be more confident in that and be more familiar with it, then you need to take that next moment of serenity, complete stability, when you're absolutely sure you can't. You need to take refuge in that once again. That's what it means that there is no destination. Because just when you think that you have reached a destination, it will be ripped out from under you. I guarantee you. Just when you think you've got it hacked, it's going to be ripped out from under you, and you're going to have to find a new method of hacking. So, curative fantasies, that includes believing we're going to reach a destination where we're going to have it hacked, whatever that means to us, and that then, you know, we're going to be fine from then on, that we won't have these troubling states. And this is the problem from the beginning, trying to get rid of troubling states. The problem from the beginning is thinking that some cure will work. Food, money, sex, work, relationships, leisure activities. This is the problem from the beginning. And so you have to be willing to go beyond believing that troubling states need to be changed. That is the work of a hero. Mm-hmm. The instinctive realization is in the troubling states. That's where it is. It's not in some grandiose, blown out state of no self, non-existence, no thought, or any description of anything. So, yeah, that's where you find true freedom, in troubling states. That's where it is. So you see, based on what I just said, everyone should be wanting troubling states. So you see the problem in avoiding them. Mm-hmm. When we're wanting to avoid them, we're wanting to avoid our greatest gift. Troubling states are what we want. And furthermore, troubling states is what we'll have. This, guess what? Thoughts don't work as an identity. Emotions don't work as an identity. Sensations don't work as an identity. And experiences don't work as an identity. They don't work. Food doesn't work. Money doesn't work. Sex doesn't work. Work doesn't work. Relationships don't work. And vacations don't work. None of these things work. Working out doesn't work. None of this works. And so, you see, when we think it does work, then we're applying a curative antidote. We're thinking, yeah, this is going to work. I know it's going to work. I know it's going to work to change my thinking or change my emotions or sensations or experiences. When we're thinking that that's all that'll work, it's just changing our troubling states that's what'll work, we're on the wrong course. So you see, the key here is that nothing need be done about troubling states. Oh my God, did I say that? Nothing need be done about troubling states. The instinctive realization is in the disturbing states. It's in the disturbing emotions. It's in the disturbing thoughts. It's in the disturbing sensations. It's in the other disturbing experiences. That's where it is. So now that we've cleared that up, what is there to talk about? Mm-hmm. Now, the other aspect of this that I wanted to address this morning is that when we are overcome with troubling states, and they can be high or low, as has been described today, then we talked first of all about relying on people who can support us in maintaining awareness. Then that's key. We really want to rely on people who can support us in that, because very few people can go it alone. It's an exceedingly rare person who can engage this discipline alone. Now, also, when we think about a person who can support us, we want to think, too, about other things that can support us, like reading materials or what we're watching on television or videos or that kind of thing. If we need something else to support us, it's not going to help us to read things that suggest anything other than this one simple change. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not going to help at all. So if we're reading self-help books or spiritual books that suggest anything other than this one simple change, that's not going to support us in adopting one simple change. It's just like going to a friend who's going to listen to us blab and support our emotional states or our curative fantasies, that's not going to help us rest either. If we read books or go to talks that suggest a lot of other things, that isn't going to support us either. It's just going to confuse us. It's going to keep us believing that there is, that we have to be grabbing for all these cures, whatever they are. It's up to you, you know, and it's up to you alone. So each step of the way, each perception, the choice is yours. What are you going to take? Are you going to take the choice of the wish-fulfilling jam? Of living your life as an actual wish-fulfilling jam? That has everything that it wishes for as a matter of course? Or are you going to continue to believe in superstitions about thoughts and emotions and sensations and other experiences? So you see, who you rely on to support you and what you rely on to support you is key. At the same time, you know, if you're, and most of us are, we're around people who could care less about the one simple change. They could care less. They may not be interested at all. They may all be off on their own curative, delusional fantasy, whatever it might be. But it doesn't matter what other people are doing. It doesn't matter what troubling states other people are having or the cures that they are applying to those or how much they want to blab to you about it. You can sit there and listen and still be taking short moments if you want to. And so just know this, that this is the case, because this is how you really build muscle in this. You build an irreversible muscle in unchanging awareness and stable awareness. And how do you do that? By not wavering. By going to awareness rather than taking the easy out. What seems like the easy out. It may seem like an easy out at the time, but you're condemning yourself to a hell realm if you take the easy way out. So you see, this is something for everyone. It's something for everyone, and it's also something that anyone can encourage anyone else to do. It isn't anything that is outside the purview of any given individual on the face of the earth. And when we take hold of true humility, which is this moment of rest, this moment of just allowing everything to be as it is, this moment of alert vigilance without any thinking, then we know what's right at the basis of everything. You see, that moment of alert vigilance, of alert cognizance, is equally present when there is no thinking and in every single thought and troubling state. So this is what you come to instinctively realize through your own decisive experience. You come to instinctively realize that this alert, naked vigilance, this alert cognizance that is completely non-conceptual is the basis of every single concept. That's what non-duality is. You can't think yourself into it. Can't think yourself into non-duality, because non-duality is instinctive to everything, which means it's beyond thought and reasoning. It's completely beyond thought and reasoning. It's just that instinct by which you know this is true. That instinct, the first time when you hear about awareness, you know there's something true. That's your instinct telling you that this is true, that this is it, that this is the crux, this is the heart of the matter. And then when you go to that instinctive part of you, for short moments, many times, it becomes the way you view the world. And it becomes that way very quickly. I was talking to someone before our meeting today, the first person to arrive. And this person has a very important managerial position in a very important company and has been taking short moments of awareness many times for a year and a half. And she said, well, you know, when I first came, you said 3 years. And she didn't really know what to think about that. And she said, but now it's a year and a half later, and I really know what you mean. when I really need it, it's there. It's really there. And so now she's able to go into situations in business that would have been filled with anxiety and just give a blazingly brilliant presentation, no matter who's there. You know, to the degree that people come up to her and say, wow, that was really a good talk. You know why? Because when she talks, everybody rests whether they want to or not, and whether they even know about it or not. And they like that. That's what they hear in what she had to say. That's what's so compelling. And this is true for everyone, too. If you get out of bullshit land and get real with yourself, then you become a very compelling figure. People want to hear what you have to say, no matter what you're talking about when you're resting. That's the message people get. They know they can rely on the efficacy of what you're saying because it's based in the profound insight of awareness. And even though they may not know anything about that, still they realize it instinctively. So you see, this is where it's at. Now today we are going to have a teaching on stable awareness. And right now we're working on a new book. And stable awareness is chapter 10 of that book. And so this is part of that chapter. And it's about 3.5 pages long, so it'll be a great teaching for you to rely on here today and for you to take away with you and rely on always. Now, the chapter on stable awareness it's already about 25 pages long. And it'll probably be about 50 pages long. And you may be thinking, well, how could so much be said about short moments repeated many times? Well, in this chapter, chapter 10 on stable awareness, it leaves you no way out. Now, the person transcribing this book has been transcribing it from the beginning, Robin. The book leaves no way out, does it, Robin?
It leaves no way out. Especially this chapter.
This is a good book because it prevents prevents getting into bullshit land. And it presents a way of completely seeing that everything that's being said here is absolutely true. First of all, that there's nothing required other than brief moments repeated many times. That all we're doing is acknowledging the native state of everything anyway. When we take that short moment, It doesn't need to be accumulated because it already is. So we're just acknowledging it repeatedly, just as we didn't acknowledge it, so it didn't seem to be there. When we acknowledge it repeatedly, it becomes evident. It's as simple as that. And what becomes evident is that in this brief moment, everything is appearing just as it is without any kind of descriptive framework. Everything that appears just is the dynamic energy of this moment that is alert and cognizant of itself. There's just this moment alert and cognizant of itself. That's it. If you don't allow any descriptions into that brief moment, there's alert cognizance that is this moment and nothing else. In order for there to say there's you or me or anything else, it requires starting to describe, starting to phenomenalize, starting to materialize an existence. But if it's left without description, then there's this moment alone, this moment of pure presence, completely open and without description, completely alert to itself. That's it. And when you rely on brief moments repeated many times, that becomes the basis of your perception. Your perception and your reception become refined into an ultimate way of perceiving and receiving information. The ground of all information is intelligent. And so awareness is intelligent. It is intelligence itself. And we could say that all points of view appear within awareness. We could also say that all information appears within intelligence. But the information is just the dynamic energy of intelligence. That's all it is. It isn't anything in it itself. It's always incomplete. It can never stand up on its own. If we look at everything that appears within awareness as a point of view or as information within intelligence, then it isn't threatening any longer. If we don't need to be so fixed on the identity of being somebody who is complete in itself, then we find that all our descriptions are incomplete. We can never arrive at a complete description. It's impossible. Why try? You're alert. Rely on that. Even when you're all confused and fogged over, you're alert to being fogged and confused. So why identify with the alert, with the fogness and the confusion? Why not identify with what you really are? Go to the basis, go to the ground of all phenomena, go to the ground of all information. As you do so, as everyone here knows, confidence develops to whatever degree you're willing to commit to the short moment other than bullshit land. To that degree, you will have indwelling confidence about the nature of reality. So you see, it's really self-sustaining and self-affirming. The more moments of awareness you take, the more confidence you have. So you see, that's affirming and sustaining. It affirms itself, and your willingness to take the next brief moment is based on the confidence gained from the awareness that you've already experienced. Short moments, many times. Anyone can do this. Short moments, repeated many times. Brief moments, repeatedly. Now, even though at least everyone here at one time you may have heard this and you thought, well, how could that work, or compared to all these other things I've heard? And is that really going to work for me? But everyone in this room knows that it does work for you. So to the degree that you've tried it, you know that to that degree it works. And if you're still hanging out in all kinds of other methods and practices and have been doing that for years, what is it going to hurt to just commit to this for 3 years? Well, how could it possibly hurt you? It can't. Why not try the easy way? Easy does it. And just see for yourself. Now, you know, we have groups of Great Freedom people who travel around the world giving teachings on this one simple change. And so, you know, we publish that on the internet as part of our public relations and attraction program. And then we put up posters wherever the traveling teams are going. But, you know, what attracts the most people? People see the traveling people. They see them in restaurants or cafes. They see them hanging out together. And they come over and they say, "What is going on with you people? You are so happy and alive that you're noticeable. And I want to know what you know." That's how most people are attracted. So we have these traveling teams in Europe and Asia and the U.S. And this is what attracts people. And this is the case with all of you, too. You know, this is what will attract other people to awareness. Your confidence and awareness attracts other people to awareness. Talking to people about your curative fantasies does not attract people to awareness. It attracts people to bullshit land. And furthermore and moreover, don't rely on anything else. Know that this is going to take you all the way. Now, everyone here is young, very young. Even those who are in their 50s or 60s probably have a lot of life to live. But whether you have a lot of life to live or you're going to die in the next second, and we all could, awareness is what you want to be relying on. When you take that first moment of awareness, just alert, restful vigilance, without any thinking, just that moment will save your ass if you never take another one. You know why? Because when you die, it's just going to be that alert, vigilance. That's it. And having taken that one moment in your life, you'll know when you die that you're okay. Because you'll be familiar with it and you won't be scared. When, oh, wow, what's this? I've never known this before. But you see, if you're familiar with this all the time you're living, then when you die, you don't have any curative fantasies about death either as some kind of final destination. You know that death is just more information appearing within alert cognizance. It's just another description, just like all other descriptions. The compelling evidence is in yourself. The compelling reason to invest in awareness is that from the first moment, all good qualities are present from the first moment. Perfect mental and emotional stability, compassion, profound insight, and skill, all present in that first moment. So each moment that is built upon that first moment, there are more and more of these qualities present, more evidence of these qualities present. Their obviousness becomes clear in everything you do. You don't want to go into your old harangue any longer of bullshit land. You know it's not going to give you any comfort. So this is what comes about with the tremendous confidence of short moments of awareness. Do not underestimate its power. Understand what true humility is. True humility is that next moment of awareness when you don't think you can take it, when you're sure that non-conceptual alertness is not the basis of everything you're feeling overwhelmed by. Taking that short moment in troubling situations will give you great rewards. Great treasure, untold treasure, treasure you never dreamt of in your life.